Chapter 65. Of the Prior of the Monastery. It often happeneth indeed that grave scandals arise in monasteries out of the appointment of the prior, since there are some who, puffed up with the wicked spirit of pride and thinking themselves to be second abbots, set up a despotic rule, foster scandals, and excite quarrels in the community, and especially in those places where also the prior is appointed by the same bishop or the same abbots who appointeth his abbot. How foolish this is can easily be seen, because from the very beginning of his appointment, matter for pride is furnished him, when his thoughts suggest to him that now he is exempt from the authority of the abbot, because thou too hast been appointed by those by whom the abbot was appointed. From this source arise envy, discord, slander, quarrels, jealousy, and disorders. While the abbot and the prior are thus at variance with each other, it must follow that their souls are endangered by this discord, and that those who are under them, as long as they humor the parties, go to ruin. The fault of this evil resteth on the heads of those who are the authors of such disorders. We foresee, therefore, that for the preservation of peace and charity, it is best that the government of the monastery should depend on the will of the abbot. And if it can be done, let the affairs of the monastery, as we have explained before, be attended to by deans, as the abbot shall dispose, so that, the same office being shared by many, no one may become proud. If, however, the place require it, or the brotherhood reasonably and with humility take the request, and the abbot shall deem it advisable, let the abbot himself appoint as prior whomever, with the advice of God-fearing brethren, he shall select. But let the prior reverently do what his abbot hath enjoined on him, doing nothing against the will of the direction of the abbot. For the higher he is placed above others, the more careful should he be to obey the precepts of the rule. If the prior be found disorderly, or blinded by vainglory, or hath been proved to be a contemner of the holy rule, let him be admonished up to the fourth time. If he doth not amend, let the correction of the regular discipline be applied to him. But if he doth not amend even then, let him be disposed from the office of priorship, and another who is worthy be appointed in his stead. But if even afterward he be not quiet and submissive in the brotherhood, let him also be expelled from the monastery. Still, let the abbot reflect that he must give an account to God for all his judgments, lest perhaps envy or jealousy should sear his conscience. Chapter 66. Of the Porter of the Monastery. Let a wise old man be placed at the door of the monastery, one who knoweth how to take and give an answer, and whose mature age doth not permit him to stray about. The porter should have a cell near the door, that they who come may always find one present, from whom they may obtain an answer. As soon as anyone knocketh or a poor person calleth, let him answer, "Thanks be to God," or invoke a blessing, and with the meekness of the fear of God, let him return an answer speedily in the fervor of charity. If the porter hath need of assistance, let him have a younger brother. If it can be done, the monastery should be so situated that all the necessities, such as water, the mill, the garden, are enclosed, and the various arts may be plied inside of the monastery, so that there may be no need for the monks to go about outside, because it is not good for their souls. But we desire that this rule be read quite often in the community, that none of the brethren may excuse himself of ignorance. Chapter 67. Of the Brethren Who Are Sent on a Journey. Let the brethren who are sent on a journey recommend themselves to the prayers of all the brotherhood and of the abbot, And after the last prayer at the work of God, let a commemoration always be made for the absent brethren. On the day that the brethren return from the journey, let them lie prostrate on the floor of the oratory at all the canonical hours, when the work of God is finished, and ask the prayers of all on account of failings, for fear that the sight of evil or the sound of frivolous speech should have surprised them on the way. And let no one presume to relate to another what he has seen or heard outside of the monastery, because it is most hurtful. But if anyone presume to do so, let him undergo the penalty of the rule. In like manner, let him be punished who shall presume to go beyond the enclosure of the monastery, or anywhere else, or to do anything, however little, without the order of the abbot. Chapter 68. If a brother is commanded to do impossible things. If, perchance, any difficult or impossible tasks be enjoined on a brother, let him nevertheless receive the order of him who commandeth with all meekness and obedience. If, however, he see that the gravity of the task is altogether beyond his strength, let him quietly and seasonably submit the reasons for his inability to his superior, without pride, protest, or dissent. If, however, after his explanation, the superior still insisteth on his command, let the younger be convinced, so it is good for him, and let him obey from love, relying on the help of God.